This time yesterday, we learned that the Michigan coach for football, the first African-American coach, had been let go, right?
And we fired.
Yeah, had been fired. I was trying to say it nicely.
Yeah, no, that let go is they kind of parted ways. No, he was fired.
And he was making $5.5 million a year.
Yes.
And every year, once he would come back each season, he'd get another $500,000. Now he's gone. And now he's been arrested. If you text WATCH to 855-616-1620, WATCH to our setting limit to talk and text line, you can see him. This just happened. What's his name again, Telly?
Sharon Moore. So the now former Michigan football coach, Sharon Moore, was incarcerated at the Washtenaw County Jail just hours after he was fired as the Wolverines football coach for having what the school said was an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. And the story, just as more details start to come out, it really paints a bad picture for former football coach Sharon Moore, because the reason why he got arrested, and there are still no charges yet, but after he got fired, so he had an argument with his wife and threatened to kill himself, and then left the house and went over and broke into the house of the woman he was having an extramarital affair with, which was also in his executive assistant. And he threatened to kill himself, but also said that he was going to kill her first.
Whoa.
And then, so apparently that was de-escalated, and he ended up leaving, and he was intercepted at a local church, and his wife let authorities know where his location was, and that's how they were able to apprehend him.
Wow.
Yes. And so, and there's even more to this story. This was a rumor that he was having this extramarital affair in early November, weeks and weeks ago. And how it all got started was, believe this or not, Julia, a DoorDash driver gave an anonymous tip to the athletic department.
No.
That said that he delivered a Plan B test to Coach Moore's office.
Whoa!
So there are questions about he allegedly impregnated this woman and forced her to get an abortion.
Why don't you just go yourself and pay cash?
And why can't you just say
DoorDash?
I mean, but yeah, and see, to me, the DoorDash driver is such a snitch, because you don't know who that was for. Maybe that was a Plan B test for one of his players that he was, like, his player didn't want to go and get it himself, and maybe,
oh, okay,
you know, he did. I'm just saying.
It wasn't for him.
Exactly. So the point in the matter is, this is a terrible situation, and he was fired with cause, which means he forfeits the remaining $12.3 million on his contract.
Oh, that hurts.
And yes. And so he's still being held in the county jail, Washtenaw County Jail, and no charges have been filed against him yet.
So this could be a breaking and entering, threatening someone's life.
Yes. Or it could just be basically he crashed out after getting fired.
Big crash out.
Yes.
I would say that. Go to the church first, and don't go to the lover's house.
Exactly. So this is continuing to unfold, and there are rumors that the athletic director, Ward Manuel, could be seeing the door shortly as well, because when did he know this? And how long has he known this? And is there any cover-up that was taking place? And so there's a lot of layers that are going to be peeled back in the upcoming days.
Have you seen affairs at work before? And some of them brag behind the scenes of what's going on.
Yes. And
yeah,
there was allegedly an all coaches meeting that didn't include Coach Moore. And I think the staff kind of knew what was going on, and how they were going to either protect him or whatever the case may be, once it got out, because they knew eventually it would get out. But this is a very, very bad situation, and so unfortunate. I mean, a lot of people can say, yeah, you know, he's stupid, he knew what he was doing, and this, that, and the other. But you also got to think about his wife and his three young daughters and everything that they are going to have to go through now that this has taken place. So all the way around a bad situation, but Sherrone Moore, former Michigan coach, remains in jail and is expected that he'll be arraigned at some point tomorrow.
Oh boy. Okay, then we'll have the hot takes from Telly coming up tomorrow too. Okay. The president is now weighing in on the Warner Brothers Discovery sale. The White House roundtable says that it is imperative that CNN should be sold, saying they're either corrupt or incompetent. That is a quote from Donald Trump, saying that CNN is either corrupt or incompetent. Warner Brothers is facing two offers, one from Netflix, the other from Paramount. Paramount is larger. The Wall Street Journal is now reporting that Paramount's David Ellison and his billionaire father, Larry, have made assurances to the administration, the Trump administration, that they would make sweeping changes to CNN, including overhauling the leadership and making editorial direction to address the president's bias complaints. And it could also mean CBS and CNN integrate together. You may remember that CBS went through a lot with a 60 Minutes report that the president had a problem with. A CNN spokesperson declined to comment. But you know, if you watch any news conference, he asks, are you with CNN? Oh, yeah. Okay, I knew you were with CNN with that question. So there's been a problem for a while between CNN. Remember the first term?
Yes.
And he said, you're fake news?
Yes.
And that just became the vernacular.
Yes, it sure
after
has.
After he said that. Yeah, I'm not talking to you, you're fake news. But at this point, once the president is getting into the editorial direction of journalism or a news station, whether you think that they're the Clinton News Network or whatever acronym you guys give, is that the right thing?
And to me, I do believe that we are using the First Amendment to skew it the way that we want to, meaning it's not free speech anymore. It's free speech if I agree with what you're saying. And I think this is setting an extremely dangerous monopoly in broadcasting. And I just think, okay, all of these things are being done to please President Trump. But what happens when he leaves office?
Well, it sets a precedent, doesn't it?
Yes. I just think that you're setting a precedent that, okay, every president is going to decide which news stations they like and dislike.
You can't do that.
You cannot do that.
Seriously, you don't want that.
I mean, because it totally eliminates the opportunity to debate anything if everybody agrees with one person. And it's kind of giving vibes of Russia, where the government runs their broadcasts.
And the oligarchs.
Yes.
And okay.
So I mean, for me, I think this is it is scary times, especially as a journalist and for people that have worked their entire careers to reach a certain point in their career, and you can't get a job just because you may not agree with something that the president has said. And that, to me, is not the way that journalism and networks are supposed to be run.
I mean, that was the first place that I got the news bug. I worked for CNN as a runner for 10 days in 2004 at the Republican National Convention, and it was incredible. And I met with Blitzer and Anderson Cooper, who's still
nice.
There. And that was the beginning of so many things. And we were right next to ABC News and NBC and Fox News. Everybody's friends.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the White House correspondents go to Fox News with CNN. I mean, we all know each other. So, and that's why a lot of this is coming out.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think of what else don't we know?
Yeah.
If that's being released.
I mean, because you look at it, I mean, mainstays like Wolf Blitzer and all of those, I think that they are going to get rid of everybody. You talk about sweeping changes. You may as well just say everybody's going to be gone and we're going to start a brand new network, because I don't think that you would keep the same name, of course, if you're going to merge CBS News and CNN.
Okay.
And so if you're unhappy with what you're seeing right now, there's no way you're going to carry that over into this new network that you're going to establish.
And by the way, if you're rooting for Netflix, Netflix doesn't want CNN. So that would, someone else would have to buy it up. So yeah, it could be Paramount in the end to boot, either way. Well, we'll have to wait and see. So I don't know if you heard the entire interview, Telly, but I have a portion of it from Wisconsin's Midday News. They interviewed Bucks president Peter Fagan, and Peter seemed a little miffed about what's going on with the rumors of Giannis possibly leaving the Bucks. We know that Doc Rivers said, "I've been asked 50 times already. I don't know anything." Here's Peter Fagan and what he says, the effect it's had on the Bucks.
Well, can you imagine dealing with this? Like, there's no statute of limitations. Shams has been saying the same thing for almost a calendar year in getting this done. I think Giannis has made it clear that, you know, especially lately, and especially internally and partially externally, like, I'd like to rehab and I'd like to focus on basketball in a big way. And this is kind of Groundhog's Day. It comes back. It is terrible for our fans. It is terrible internally and externally. It's like the world of clickbait and to, like, make this happen. And I think, you know, honestly, like, how to manufacture a story and continue to beat it to death till, you know, I think hopefully the pundits in the NBA, like, you know, it could happen. Our role internally is especially when we're not doing as well as we'd like to, is to really focus, you know, on the team, focus on winning, turning this around in, like, a big way, focus on the players and continue to improve. So, you know, I think Giannis has been unbelievable where, you know, he literally said the other day, like, you know, this focus is about team and about basketball and how to kind of change this. So I don't think the noise changes, because I think, you know, the environment of which we're in, like, if you're not winning consistently and we're having this kind of drop, you know, this is what happens. But, you know, John Horst and I were talking the other day, and, you know, for us, like, welcome to the NBA. Like, you've got to go through, no matter what team you're at, you've got to go through a period of time that is just your challenge to get it. We're hoping this is that period of time, and you persevere and you come out the other side 100% stronger and better. But the, you know, the chatter and everything for us is just that we love to reduce the noise and we'd love to have it all focused on him getting better and playing basketball.
Okay, he's saying this is terrible for fans. Do you agree?
Not as much as I think that, you know, Peter is making it out to be, because he said it himself. This isn't anything new. Fans have had to hear this, you know, since the past two off seasons about Giannis, if he'll stay, if he'll go. I think it makes fans nervous. I don't think it's just something that consumes their every thought, but I do think it makes fans nervous and wonder if there's fire where we've seen smoke.
Do you believe this is clickbait, like he's saying?
Yes and no, because again, I do believe where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't think that this is all being made up, but you also got to look at it from the other side too. If any of these things are true, you can't come out and say it. You can't. I mean, how does that make this team look if Peter was asked, are you having conversations with Giannis about his future? And he says, yes, we have had conversations. Because,
well, wouldn't that be honest? Aren't you always having conversations?
Honesty in sports a lot of times don't go hand in hand. I mean, even down to if a team is always trying to find a leg up. And so that's why teams get fined for not putting players on injury reports, because you're deceiving, you know, the other team, because you want them to believe that someone is going to play that's not going to play. And so it would be nice to get the full truth. And maybe it is the full truth. I'm just saying there's always two sides to it. And I just think that you know, time will definitely tell, because as I told you before, this upcoming Monday, December 15th, is when the trade, you can start, you know, doing trades in the NBA. And so Giannis is still out with a strained calf, and we'll see if anything happens when that time comes. But, I mean, that's the great thing about all of this. Time will tell if all of this is true or if it's not.
Exactly. And he sounds super frustrated. Do you think it's because it could be affecting ticket sales or sales in general?
I think that could be one of the factors. And I mean, you could get frustrated if Giannis is telling you one thing and then you're hearing a bunch of other stuff.
You know
what I mean? It's like, okay, I talk to this guy every day, but you're going to tell me what he's thinking and what he's saying.
And we're going to air this out
for
everyone to see.
Right. So I think it you know, the frustration, it could lie in several areas. And yes, if, you know, Giannis isn't playing and the team isn't doing well, a lot of fans may say, look, I'll start coming back to the games when Giannis is playing. Or,
exactly.
You know, so I think the frustration, it could really bleed over into a lot of different areas.
You know, you're probably, as Bucks president, you're trying to sell next year's season tickets.
And yes.
And presidents of companies want control. And it does not seem like there's been any control over the story across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally agree. And when you are running a business, you got to do what's best for the business.
Right.
And if there are things that, I mean, you could just imagine if someone kept telling your boss something about you, and you keep talking to your boss and like, look, that's not what I'm thinking. That's not what I'm going to do. But someone else keeps saying, well, Julia's going to go to the other station and she's going to do this and she's going to do that. And you're like, yo, I'm not saying that. So I think a lot of it could be put to rest, and it's something that Giannis hasn't done. But only thing he has to do is talk. That's the one thing about all of this.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if he came out and said something, maybe it could put a rest to it. But, you know, in this case, silence isn't, you know, the best thing.
Yeah, he's not squashing it.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Monday is right around the corner, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know how a lot of officers do this time of year, shop with a cop, with deserving children?
Yes.
That's where they go to the Kohl's or Walmart and they have a certain amount of money that they're able to spend for a child that is well-deserving and family. And, okay, there's a twist. There was a shoplifter with cops that happened at Hartford. So a woman was caught shoplifting during the Hartford Police's annual Shop with a Cop event. If you text WATCH to 855-616-1620, WATCH to our setting limited talk and text line, you can see the offender. Now, if you see no head on one of the photos, it's because they didn't want it to rain on anybody's parade with the actual event. But we have her mugshot as well, so go back and forth. Ugh. Hartford Police posted on Facebook this astonishing display of bad timing. The store was teeming with 15 officers, and they called it basically a satellite police station, okay? The woman is accused of stealing more than $600 of items just a few days before. And officers noticed her themselves. No call was needed. Many of them saying out loud, you have got to be kidding me. She had more than $200 worth of items on her, according to police, when she was detained. Then, according to court records, she admitted to stealing and that she would have shoplifted again, but changed her mind because of all the police officers that she saw in the store. Police said they also went into her car, Telly. They found $900 worth of stolen toys in her car. Your face.
I'm just like the cop's reaction, I'm sure. Like, I do not believe this.
You're making my job so easy today.
Wow.
The upside, the officers barely had to pause their shopping. So if you text WATCH, if you'd like to see the woman's shopping cart, again, her face was removed as to not draw attention away from the kiddos. But we have a photo of her face. Her mugshot, she is 24-year-old Sophia Malek, now charged with retail theft. Shoplift with a cop, 0 out of 10, would not recommend. this week, Wisconsin's Morning News is unveiling their WTMJ 2025 Standouts of the Year. These are people who have made an impact in our state over the past year. Today's standout is former Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy.
The 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers. For the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver. Matthew Golden, wide receiver.
Hey, let me get a Green Bay 3. 1, 2, 3.
The first night of the NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin will forever be an I was there moment for more than 205,000 NFL fans.
Commissioner, welcome to Green Bay. Tell us how we're doing so far.
Awesome. The event has really grown, and I think Green Bay will contribute to that.
Dude, that was the biggest party I've ever attended. I mean, it was phenomenally done.
Alex Strofe is the host of Green Bay Game Day on WTMJ.
So many times found myself going, whoa, this is Green Bay? They did this?
The idea that Green Bay, Wisconsin, that could host an event like this, man, 10, even 15 years ago, like no way.
That crowning achievement for the now retired Packers president Mark Murphy would bring in more than 600,000 fans in total, plus an economic impact of more than $100 million across the entire state.
There were some times where we wondered whether it would ever really come to fruition, but what's really helped us was the development of Titletown.
The Titletown District, created under Murphy's leadership, brings in a million fans a year.
It's been tremendous. Not had a single person come up to me and say, why did you get rid of the Kmart?
Murphy has even worked with Microsoft, creating a Titletown tech, forever changing little old Green Bay.
The other thing that he deserves credit for that I don't think he gets enough credit for is the way he wrapped his arms around both the area of Green Bay, but also the fan base.
The one thing that I do think sets our fans apart from the other fans is that they have a vested interest in the team and the organization. So many of our fans are owners. I think we have 560,000 shareholders who are really, truly special.
Not only did Murphy celebrate an incredible run with an incredible NFL draft party in 2025, he also became UW Green Bay's first ever executive in residence. He rescued a golf course in Door County.
Runs the golf course. He's helping out at UW Green Bay. He's staying in the area where he could do whatever he wants at this point. He's retired. He can move south. He can go live on a beach. But he has chosen not to, which I think is really impressive. And we can officially call Mark Murphy one of us, which is really neat.
Well, I tell you, I am just so honored. Most importantly, I want to thank the Packers Hall of Fame. This really is an incredible honor. I'm extremely humbled. Go, Pack, go!